Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Isota, who is here to share with us about a very fun practice experience. Welcome, Isota.
Hello, hi.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you great. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, as I was introducing it, Isota, I realized I didn't really want to say anything about it because I wanted to let you be able to tell the whole tale, because it was such a fun experience that you described and kind of went across so many different areas. So I thought maybe you could just tell us about it.
Okay. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. If you see, I sway from the main route, please bring me back, okay? Because I'm like,
will do.
I've been trying not to practice, you know? But I'm so excited. So I'll tell you the story. So when I was at the monastery for the last retreat, apart from the discovery of the world of chores, one of the amazing things was also how beautiful and peaceful everything is at the monastery, and how I was noticing how much of it comes from the order and the fact that there aren't superfluous things, and that everything there is loved. So every object that is there, you know that it's loved, you know, that has a purpose and it's beautiful and it's loved. And well, I had read about it in some amusing newsletters, but I hadn't really understood it until I was there, you know. And so when I came home, I wanted to come up with some chores to do in order to practice doing more chores or practice working meditation. And I decided to empty my closet and to just keep the stuff that would bring me joy, you know, because I wanted to have a closet that I could walk in and look at and be peaceful, you know. Well, the idea was to do it for all the apartment, but the first step was the closet, which was the messiest place.
Yes. So, yes, and I love that. I love that principle of, in other words, I want to walk into a closet that's orderly and that everything in it brings me joy, and we can guess that anything that I no longer find joy in, someone else will. So let's pass it on.
Exactly. So this is what I did, you know. I had bags and bags of stuff. I came up, you know, I put everything that bring me joy back in, but I ended up with bags and bags of stuff. And I heard Cherry talking about thanking the chairs that she was cleaning one day. So I thanked all the stuff I wasn't using because I felt a little bit guilty with the stuff, you know. So I thanked everything and put it in bags and realized that there was a flea market in my neighborhood a week after this thing, you know. And a lot of miraculous things happened. Well, the first miraculous thing is that I tidied my closet, which I had never done in my life. The other miraculous thing...
Congratulations.
Yeah. The other miraculous thing is that I sold everything, that even other people selling their stuff at the flea market, instead of selling their own stuff, came and bought mine. That was very strange. And the other incredible miraculous thing is that apparently has nothing to do. It's like a side effect of this thing that left me speechless. Is that I had always wanted to sing and play the guitar and do this stuff, but I have always been terrible at it. And I can play some chords with the guitar, but conditioning always chokes me, so I could never sing in public. I would really suffocate if I tried. And instead, with the excuse that it was for Africa, because I did not say that, the money that I made from the flea market was for the kids in Africa, you know? So I could make conditioning shut up, telling conditioning, it's for Africa, so I can sing, you know? And I
it's
came
really
up,
good.
Yeah. And so I came up with two songs that I invented just with the three chords I can play. And they came up just super fun. I mean, it wasn't like Whitney Houston, but it was totally listenable and totally enjoyable. And I came up with these two songs and I posted them publicly on Facebook. And like really hundreds of people, like at least 100 people, but more saw it. And everybody was so enthusiastic. And they were singing the little song about the flea market. And, you know, and I felt I had never let my creativity express like this in my adult life ever, you know. And it was such an unexpected gift of practice and an amazing experience. And it all came from doing a chore, you know. So it was amazing.
I mean, I find myself in a place that I don't often find myself as a facilitator, which is I'm a bit speechless because where to even begin? Because there's so much in there to look at, right? I mean, just that piece of it all began with chores. Well, I mean, exactly. And it all begins with presence, right? You just get to the present moment. You have that, you know, I mean, the first miracle that I don't even think you pointed at yet is that you come on a retreat to the chores. You've never done chores retreat. I mean, you've never done chores before, but instead of, you know, going with ego's resistance to it, you just go wholeheartedly into it, then bring it home with you because you want to prepare to be able to come to the monastery and be able to do chores, and then because you're present to it and you're just here letting life unfold, all of these other miracles come from that.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, it was opening like a something for life to express and flow through, you know?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I wish I could think of all the many, many Project Joy quotes that we could bring in at this point, right? But just that place of, it's not me, right? It's not my, you know, because that's how we get talked out of something like, you know, letting folks see our creativity is, well, I mean, I'm kind of shy and, or who am I to, but it's not mine, you know, that's why I project the It's for the Kids in Africa is something that allowed you to kind of take that courageous step. It's not about me, right? None of it was about me.
Exactly, and this is also what I was talking with the mentor now before this call, because conditioning came up like with, who are you to tell this story? This is so arrogant that you would tell this story, no? And so, you know, just before this call, I was talking about it with the mentor, with the recorder, and it was like, no, this is not your story. This is practice story, life story, the Sangha story, no? You know?
Good for you. Good for you.
Boy, that was good for it.
What was that?
Every call, everything contributes to everything that we do, you know. So it's really
exactly. Yes, exactly so. And it's not mine to decide, well, should I tell it, should I not tell? I mean, I just picture the ripple effect of that one act of, you know, I think I want to practice doing chores, and the huge impact that's had for you. And then the money that you raised and the bit that's going to go to the kids in Africa and all the good that that's going to do and all those beautiful clothes that went on to all those other, gosh, sounds like probably hundreds of people who are going to now enjoy them, all those people who got to respond to the Facebook post and what that might have inspired them to do. I mean, all the people who are going to listen to this in the archive that will be there for years. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Exactly, and it's a ripple effect of life expressing itself and being allowed to be free to express, you know. So it really doesn't have anything to do with one person specifically, you know. So
that's
this
right.
Is super
right. Yeah. Yes, I love that point that you made. It's not my story. It's practice. It's a practice story. It's not mine. Yeah, that's so well put. Wow. I cannot believe it, Asota, but it's 5 o'clock. Well, I don't know where it's whatever time it is for you. It's at the top of the hour. Let's say that. So thank you so much for being on. And anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
Oh, no, that was it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for everything, especially to you and the monks, my God, because it all started from you having me there and being so patient with me, you know. So a super, super, super thank you.
Oh, well, as you know, that's another one of those big win. Everybody wins in that situation, so it's impossible to say who's serving and who's being served.
The same thing, exactly. It's all the same, yes, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for being with us this afternoon. Take good care.
You too. Bye bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Risotto. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How fun was that?
It's pretty fun. It was great.
Say yes to chores, and goodness knows where your life is going to go.
I know. Yes. Yes.
Pretty soon
clean
you're
closet,
writing
then,
songs and cleaning closets and going to flea markets, and it's just on and on and on.
Yeah, sounded like a lot of fun to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's nothing like saying yes. You know, that's such a great example of it. We say yes, and then things just start going in every which direction, the directions that we would never anticipate. But there they are, and there we are.
Yes, yes.
It's
more fun
than saying
no.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah, that the yes really opens up all these possibilities that we had never imagined. Yes. Yes.
There's that yes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. You got announcements?
I do. The practice weekend at the monastery, June 23rd through June 25th, offers an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and deepen support for awareness practice. From Friday evening group with the guide to Sunday morning group with the community, participants enjoy practice activities and guidance in the peace and beauty of the monastery grounds.
Uh-huh.
The There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, June 30th through July 7th, offers an opportunity to see directly how we are rejecting voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do.
True.
Mornings with the Mentor is a group coaching program in which participants will create recordings with the mentor to support intentions for the day and for life. Don't miss the opportunity to spend time each morning with someone who loves you unconditionally. The 4-week coaching program starts June 28th. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. The next quarter begins July 15th. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make cash show by pressing *6 and then 1, and a focus on one topic and about a 5-minute conversation is really helpful for everyone. Okay, Sherry, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Kate in Australia.
Oh. Hi, Kate.
I am good. I am so good. I am so happy to connect. I have been really, really wanting to connect with Sangha, not being able to have the right time zone to call in for Project Joy. So I'm so grateful that I got on right now. One of the things that I am looking at right now is when I don't keep a practice commitment. So I've made a commitment to do whatever it is, and I don't make it. And the encouragement to not kind of beat yourself up after that happens and tell yourself, you're a horrible...
Beat you up.
Right. You're not a horrible person for not keeping your commitment. But at the same time, where I am looking is also not falling into this everything's okay that you didn't keep this commitment, and then allowing myself to break it again and again. And that tension, I'm having a hard time of kind of thinking through how to reinforce, no, this is a commitment, and it's important to you to keep your commitments. And so in that sense, it's not okay to not keep your commitments, but it's also, everything's okay. So does that make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense, and it's such an important point in practice. It's just absolutely critical. So, yes. When we break that down, the reason that it's so important to me to say not to let the voices beat you up is...
Hey, Sherry?
Yeah?
You sound a little
Michael?
Far away.
No.
Yeah. You want to?
I'm right here.
Better? Oh, that sounds better.
That's better.
Does it?
Keep talking.
Oh,
yep.
Good.
Yep, that's good.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right. The reason that it's so important that we acknowledge that it's voices of self-hate beating us up is that that really helps us sort out the players. So there's you, authentic human being, wanting to make a commitment to the authentic human being's presence. There's ego, really not wanting you to be present. And, of course, the reason ego so wants you not to be present is that when you, as authenticity, when you are present, ego isn't here. There's no room for ego. It doesn't exist in the present, right? So the battle to keep you from being present is intense for ego. Right? So you make a commitment, and what that does for you is to help you be in touch with your heart and be present. Ego then goes into overdrive to stop you from doing that, because the only way it can maintain its illusory existence is to keep you out of the present. And the best way to make sure that that happens is to stop you from doing what takes care of your heart, and then have the voices of self-hate beat you up for not keeping your commitment.
So, yes,
that'll hang
absolutely.
Together?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm totally following that. I think where I'm struggling, maybe that's too strong of a word, but is the idea of I kind of just get let off the hook when I don't keep my commitment. If I say, well, it wasn't me that didn't keep this commitment.
Well, Yes, you could if you turned the whole process over to ego. And that's what goes on. So ego says, so in your heart, you want to, say you want to meditate every day. And ego goes, that's great. And then that's ego one. Then ego two, because that'll be great, because then that'll, whatever story it's got going, right? Because ego plays both sides. It's not just, it doesn't just sound against everything. It's got to play the other side of the duality too. Yeah, you should meditate. You need to. That's that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Then ego too kicks in to stop you. You don't have time. You're too busy. There's so much going on. You can do it later. You don't feel like it. It's been such a busy time. You've worked really hard. You need to kick back. You need to rest a little bit. You can do it tomorrow. Okay? Then self-hate comes in to add the beating for not having done it. Probably not the first time. You know, the first time it's just ego one saying, well, you know, you committed to meditating. And so you really do need to do that. Okay, so there's the ping pong match, right? Okay, so we watch that process go on. But the piece that you're looking at is that your heart really wants to keep the commitment. Who you authentically are wants to keep the commitment. And so the voice that says, oh, it's okay, it's really true that you've been really busy and you've worked, it's okay. That's the ego voice. We could either say that's ego voice two or three. Two with a different tone or three with a different story. Okay? And so what you're closing in on is your heart is disappointed. And that's what's not okay. And it's a different not okay than a self-hating not okay. What's not okay is that you've disappointed yourself. You've let yourself down. You, one more time, there's been a giving in to ego and not choosing the heart. That's what's not okay. But it's not a judgmental not okay.
Yes, yes. Thank you for putting words to that, because that's exactly where I was stuck, was I know this isn't okay, but it's not the same as it's not okay. So that was that's exactly what I was looking for in that. And I also, I just love that you brought up the ping pong match, because it's such a good visual for me, and I have some really good recordings around that, and just how the beating yourself up, making a commitment that you then break, it's just so clear to me when I think of it in the ping pong match, throwing me back and forth and keeping me from keeping commitments by being in that. And that's just continually letting my heart be disappointed by staying in the ping pong game.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And so this is where we say the best piece of this part of practice is seeing how that happens. Once you get really clear about that, keeping commitments is not going to be an issue. But as long as we're not clear about that process, how ego does that to us, and the role that self-hate plays in furthering ego's ping pong match, right? Because you get beaten for being on that side. You get beaten for being on that side. We're so, we get so jerked back and forth and reeling from the stories and the beatings and that sort of thing, that it's easy for us to lose sight of, but I want to keep the commitment. You know, after a while, we just get so beaten down that we don't want anything to do with it. What do you want? Okay, I'll do that. Right? So staying with it and seeing how that process works is what eventually leads us to being able to keep any commitment that we make, because that system can't do that to us any longer.
And just that huge shift from keeping the commitment because you're in the ping pong game to keeping the commitment because you're in line with what your heart wants. You're in line with life,
yeah.
And you're coming from a yeah. place there. It's just it's a completely different experience.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to disappoint life. You don't want to disappoint what is animating you. You know, it's really difficult to talk about that because we actually don't have good words and concepts to communicate it. But that's really what it comes down to. You know, you have the vehicle, the body, the mind, the emotions, you have the ability to give the heart what it longs for. And when we realize that, then we realize how much we want to come through, how much we want to honor that, do
mm-hmm.
that, show our gratitude and appreciation by being in service to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're
Sherry,
so welcome,
thank you, Michael.
Maddie. Yeah, and keep good notes, huh, with the recorder, you know, good notes on, and now it's doing this, and now it's, and that feels that way, and I can see that, and okay, and then it comes in with that. Ah, okay, all right, that's when I fall for that. Okay, got it. And you'll just break it all down until it can't fool you anymore.
Got it. I'm on note taking.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. Sherry, it seems that one of the critical pieces for me in that conversation is not letting the self-hate in to judge me when I haven't kept the
yes.
commitment. And also seeing that it is disappointment is what's there underneath all that.
Yes, yes. And with that, it's good to have a bit of a sense of humor. You know, so I got hoodwinked. I got bamboozled. Yep, I did. I fell for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot in that. Thank you. I'll get that on the recorder so that there really isn't that much chance that I'll fall for it again. So, okay, good. One for you.
Yes. Yep, good to have a worthy opponent.
Precisely. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Makes us that much stronger. That much more committed, that much more willing.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Jill in Philadelphia.
Well, hello.
Well, hello there.
Gosh, in Philadelphia instead of in New York, huh?
I know. I'm in both cities, but yeah, today I'm here.
Right.
In
what's going on?
In my new house.
Oh, lovely. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, it's very nice. Well, that was a great last conversation, and I was really inspired. I have been doing this thing, yeah, this idea of that I use is fighting for this person, I guess. I haven't always used that in practice, but lately it's been really helpful, this idea that,
uh-huh.
you know, there is a person here who is having an experience, and she deserves to have that experience, and to really want to fight for her to have that. Like, that's sort of her destiny. And,
uh-huh.
you know, the other choice is to be off in a story, which is, you know, not what I want for this person, not my heart's desire, sort of what was being talked about. And so, yeah, just a lot of my recordings lately are just like, you know, just fight for this person. She deserves it. She deserves it.
Mm-hmm. So the working out your own salvation diligently, that the Buddha left us with, that we each have one person to save,
yeah.
It's really helpful to get a clear picture that what we're saving is authenticity. right, that happens to be in a particular form that we are intimately connected with. And so, right, and so rather than saving ego, which ego would like us to be devoted to, and almost everybody is, let's face it, then when we get to that point of realizing, no, it's the heart, it's authenticity. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saving.
Yeah, and that in that somehow it also inspires me to facilitate the authenticity of everything else. Like even the strawberries in my little strawberry patch, for some reason that came to mind. Just that there is an authenticity there in the strawberries that, you know, is there to, if I am with my, you know, if I'm sort of, you know, working out my authenticity, somehow that extends out into all things, it feels like.
Yes, yes. That we recognize that authenticity everywhere. We realize the life that is animating all, the intelligence that's animating all, and we realize there are no boundaries here, right? And how do we know that? Well, we don't know it intellectually, but we feel it experientially, right? Yeah. You look at those strawberries, you see the innocence of those little strawberry plants, and you want to take care of them.
Yeah. 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 That's exactly what it feels like. It feels like, you know, everything, you know, this table, you know, my old reading glasses, you know, everything it feels like has a purpose, has a form for however long it has a form. And that while it's in that instrument form to take care of it feels, I don't know, delightful is the word that dropped in. You know, it just feels absolutely delightful.
Yes. And it's that kind of place that, again, if somebody doesn't know what you're talking about, we sound as nutty as people can get, right?
Right.
But when you know the experience, then it's not nutty at all. It's the most obvious thing in the world.
Right.
That each of these... each of whatever form anything is in, it's the same preciousness, if you will, that is that form that is, I mean, and it sounds funny, the notion, you know, even Buddhists like to sometimes break things down into animate and inanimate. And that there's the implication that you treat inanimate differently than animate. Well, in a non-separate reality, the fact that my perception is such that I distinguish things in particular ways and label them, that doesn't mean that that's what's going on. Right? And so to have that perception of everything being an expression, a unique expression of life, doesn't have to have breathing in eyeballs in order to be seen as a precious expression of life that, as you say, it is delightful to care for.
Yeah, and it feels like that preciousness is a process, and so it's emanating from this person, Jill, and so it's because I'm in that process, it can be a strawberry, it can be a pair of glasses, it can be this table, you know, it seems like the object is irrelevant. Yeah, and to distinguish feels like so much work. You know, I would spend my whole life distinguishing. You know,
deciding is that animate?
Exactly.
Is that? I mean, people will get
is it
into.
Is worth it? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you know, you don't eat as a Buddhist. You don't eat animate objects, right? Well, where is a shrimp?
Right.
You know, right. And to have whole debates about, well, if you're having the debate, you already know the answer.
Right.
Right. Right? Or it wouldn't even occur to you. Right. So, yeah, and so why would we want to do that with the chair or the table or the, you know, whatever it is, but instead just to be grateful for everything that is in our world and to care for it as we would, you know, Dogen talks about talking to the cook in the Zen kitchen, you know, that you care for the rice the way you would care for your own eyes. Yeah, so there we are. What if everything were that meaningful to us?
Mm-hmm.
And if we apply the word delight, wow, because you're just going to run into delight. You're just going to be delighted there, because mm-hmm. you're surrounded by all of these, in quotes, objects. And if they're all delightful to you, you got a delightful life.
Right. Yep. Yep. I agree.
Right.
Well, oftentimes I feel like I'm talking about conditioned mind, so it's very nice to have a conversation where that's not the topic.
It's delightful, isn't it?
It's delightful. It's nothing wrong with talking about conditioned mind, but this was very delightful, so thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jill.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night. Bye, Michael.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Jill. And Sherry, I really appreciated the focus on talking about the Lightroom. As Jill just said at the end there, it's great.
It is great. Yeah, yeah. Because we go right there, don't we? We go right to the experience. And we just, there it is. We're living in delight. Yay. just look around. Let your eyes light on something and realize, oh, isn't that delightful? Yeah.
Isn't that delightful? Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear from our coaching program, Sherry, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Availing ourselves of all the support we can as we undertake Project Joy is both wise and kind. Zen Awareness Coaching is just such a support. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we practice with any life content to see how we are caused to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness Coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery through regular donations. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit livingcompassion.org. Click on Participate to find Zen Awareness Coaching. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right. Before we talk to that caller, Michael, I'm going to say something that people in the organization who are listening will say, but I want to add a little addendum to that that encouragement, and that is to say that awareness coaching really is for people doing awareness practice, our awareness practice, because our practice is really unusual. And so the encouragement for anybody is to come on retreat with us and get the language down and get a practice going. And then coaches can help maintain and deepen that practice and be a support for practice, but it's not an alternative to practice. It is for people who are doing other things in practice and who are grounded in practice. So just for anybody listening in, because with some regularity I hear from people who have come across Open Air or just talk to somebody and they find out that this is available, and then I, you know, have to explain that. So I just thought I'd explain it right now, and then it'll be in the archives and like that. Okay.
Can I reflect a little of that?
Yeah.
So the Zen Awareness Coaching Program is for people who are doing practice, and what you're suggesting is the strong encouragement to come on retreat first, and to get the language down and to be steeped in practice to some degree. And then at that point, Zen Awareness Coaching can help maintain that in between when we're on retreats.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
All right.
Great. Let's talk to our next caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Hello, Ellie.
Hi, Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. I've been really enjoying this call, and I'm just sitting here looking at my dog and thinking about how I love looking at her and having that instant reflection of projection of love and joy.
Delight.
Yeah. Yeah.
A four-legged source of delight.
And she's always, like, when I get home, the full-on ecstatic wiggle of just so happy to see me, to see us, to be together. It's a great reminder.
Mm-hmm. I think we just heard some of that enthusiasm, right?
Yep, that is true. I really appreciate the earlier discussion about commitments, because mm-hmm. that's something I've been really. I've been really wanting to write, and it's something that's been, like, the heart wants it, and it's been getting massively sabotaged by conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a commitment to look at what was going on really closely, and then last night I was able to write.
Uh-huh.
And so now I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm gonna keep, you know, showing up to write, but I'm also gonna keep my vigilance to watch, you know, like, you know,
how do you get stopped? What's conditioning?
Yeah,
doing? Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I thought it was really interesting that once I made that commitment to look for it, that I was something shifted.
That's right. That's right. Yes, exactly. So what we're conditioned to do is try to get away from what conditioning does to us, which puts us in a position to be a victim to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the prey, and it's the hunter image that we often use. And when we turn around and go after it, then it becomes the prey, and we become the hunter. And the entire relationship changes, right? Suddenly, it's hiding out because it doesn't want to come out and face you squarely. So it's hiding out. You're looking for it. In the meantime, you can write.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah, it's very good. And the thing is that it works with everything. Anything
yeah.
that it's trying to do to a person will the same result will happen if they just turn around and look squarely at it. So it's you're in the dark room, don't try to get out of the dark room, explore the dark room, poof, you're out, right? So yeah, going after it is the way to get away from it.
Yeah, and listening to that idea of going after it, I'm realizing that there's some other areas of my life in which that had already happened without me really noticing. So
uh-huh.
I can actually, and I'm like, I want to make a recording because I can see how the process happened in a couple other areas of my life.
Yeah, so you have the experience. Now you know what you're doing. Now you know you're repeating what you know how to do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's huge encouragement, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm super excited.
That's where we want to be in practice. Super excited. Very good. All right. Thank you, Ellie.
Yeah.
And your little pal there, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ellie. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jenny from New Mexico. Can you hear me?
This is Jenny from where?
New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Jenny. Yeah. Hi.
Yeah. Can
you
hear me
now? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, this is Jenny from New Mexico. Sorry. This is just one of those calls where I promised myself that I'd call in, so I don't have a lot to talk about. But
What's going on in practice?
Well, I've been meditating and continue to do that. It seems to be a little bit noisy. I have a very hard time staying centered during my meditation. I mean, I do get there some, but it seems to come and go. Like, I used to be able to be more centered, but now it's just way harder to get centered. That's been my meditation lately.
So here's the deal, Jenny. Don't try.
Okay.
Trying to get centered. So this is a variation on the theme we were just talking about, right? So
right.
Trying to get centered is the fastest way for ego to take over and make sure that all the information you get is how it's not working and you're not centered.
Right, yeah.
So don't worry about being centered. Our job in sitting is just to sit. That's
okay.
All. We're not getting anywhere. We're not having any special experience. We're just sitting there. Just sitting there. We're just breathing and noticing, paying attention. You know, if you want to add a little gratitude, you can add a little gratitude, but it's not a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
You're just sitting there breathing. That's all. That's our job.
Okay.
Do you get a sense of that?
I do, because at the end of my meditations, there's this disappointment. Like, I worry that I'm not making any progress, in quotes. I don't know what that is, but
when you say it, you know that's bogus, right?
Right.
There's ego one. I just don't know if I'm getting anywhere. You know,
exactly.
Really,
yeah.
I'm just and what's going to follow that before long is, you know, why don't you just quit? You're not getting anywhere. This is really not working. Yeah. So we just go, okay, yeah, I see you, devil. No, we're not getting anywhere. All we're doing is sitting. That's all we're doing. We're just sitting.
Okay.
Sitting and breathing and being as present as we can possibly be. Not with any standards. We're just noticing. Just willing to be here. Willing to practice being here. If I get distracted every third second, then I notice that I get distracted every third second. But if I keep sitting without any ambition at all, without any effort or trying, pretty soon I only get distracted every 5 seconds. Right? And then after a while, it'll probably move up to every 10 seconds that I get distracted. And my job is just to sit there and let life work its magic on me.
Okay. Because I just noticed, you know, there's like this disappointment at the end. And like you said, this like wanting to stop, but I'm pretty, you know, like every day I do this.
Yeah.
And
don't fall for ego's disappointment. That's
okay.
Not the heart's disappointment.
Okay.
That disappointment comes from a story that follows, it's not working. You know, you used to really be able to get centered and
right.
No, you just can't. You just
that's
you,
it.
Yeah. It's just yeah. And then you feel bad.
You're right.
You know,
yeah.
We can call it disappointment, but actually you just feel bad. You're a failure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Say, well, okay. You know, that's where the humility comes in.
Okay.
Because what we don't want is ego to be confused into thinking it's reaching enlightenment. Oh, I'm having great meditations. This is really great. I'm making progress. Buddhahood.
Right.
Here
yeah.
I come. No, we don't want that.
No, we don't. That's like trying to scale a mountain kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So just keep sitting.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
All right. Thank
you. All right.
Jenny.
I will do that. Thank you
okay,
very much.
Good. And let us know.
Okay. I will.
All right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jenny. Sherry, I just love, I picture conditioning being cut off at the knees as you remove all the standards and ambitions and Buddhahood and all of that. I mean, it's just great because
yeah.
you've got nothing after that. There's nothing left.
Right. Right. The only thing that it's got after that is you really ought to be doing the laundry. You know, you really do need to get to work. You can't just sit there. Yeah, actually I can. This is the time that I'm just sitting with life, doing nothing else. Just grateful to be alive and sitting with life. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about it.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on in Jeff's world?
Yeah. So I think I would like to look at kind of how I show up, or I feel like I've been showing up, or whatever has been showing up. Recently in teaching, you know, being around children. Mm-hmm. And so I've watched this kind of thing for a long time, but have been more, the contrast has been sharper and something I've been much more aware of recently in the last, say, month,
uh-huh.
month and a half. And that is some days I feel like I'm triggered into judgments and criticism and those sorts of things toward children and respond. At least that's how I feel. I don't know what anybody else's response is, but that's how it feels like where I'm coming from. And other days where it's just like, oh my gosh, it's so great. And there's, you know, this compassion and being present and just really enjoying being there. So that contrast has seemed really sharp to me recently.
Uh-huh. And so you just kind of started noticing that, or is it you've just started noticing how sharp it is?
I've noticed that difference for a very long time. And noticed it as a very sharp difference, you know, and that I don't know what's, you know, on any given day I don't know what it's going to be like, and it can shift during the day as well, but it has seemed really, really sharp recently. And I'm wondering if that's, anyway, I don't really need to know the reason. But I've just seen, you know, the suffering around the, you know, the stories about, you know, being a bad teacher and ruining my relationships with the kids, and this is not what I want to be doing is judging them and getting critical and controlling. I'm noticing that. And, you know, and then just how much I really enjoy being really present and from that place of kindness and compassion and, you know, not coming from some agenda or something like that. So
what you're noticing is what it's like when you're at center and what it's like when you're not.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's kind of what it comes down to. Right.
Yeah.
So conditioning grabs you because I think those of us who have been practicing for a while notice that what's basically happening in our lives has to do with the energy that we're experiencing. So sometimes, you know, you just get up in the morning and everything is great, and there's really nothing that's going to take that away from you. It's just great. And all kinds of things can be happening, and it doesn't matter because it's just great. And you just feel great, and you're totally happy and all of those kinds of things. Then there's the time when you wake up in the morning and it's not great. And it really doesn't matter how well the day goes, it's still not going to be great.
Yeah.
And what we're conditioned to believe is that I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing because of the externals. But we know that that's not the case. In the same way that you've seen, you know, some days or weeks or months or whatever, you just love these kids and you want to be a great teacher for them so that they have a great experience and go on to have a great life. That's kind of the height of your ambition. And then other times, as you say, when you can't stand them. And they haven't changed, right? They're certainly not any different. But what happens in that is that conditioning uses that against us. So this is back to Kate, right? So there's how you are and how you want to be sincerely from your heart, how you want to be in the world and with these kids when you're at work. Then conditioning comes in, takes the energy, makes it into, you're having an unpleasant, difficult time and you really don't like them. In other words, you've been taken over by ego. Then self-hate comes in to beat you up for the fact that ego has taken you over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I... and, you know, fortunately, the self-hate doesn't get me to the level it used to. But yeah, it's definitely still there because, you know, oh my gosh, you're a teacher, you know, and these are children and, you know,
what kind of a monster are you?
Yeah, right. Okay. And you know.
What if somebody knew? What if their parents knew? What if their parents knew that they're in the hands of a monster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. I mean, it really is along those lines that, you know, that, oh, you're not qualified to do this job, and, you know, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it is, you know, it's because it does play on that it really does hurt. It really does. That's not the way I want to be.
No.
And, you know, so somebody is desperately and has been for years trying not to do that, you know, trying to see how I can not, you know, inflict that upon children anymore. I don't want to do that.
And here's the deal. And this is true in your situation. And this is just like Jenny's situation. Okay.
Right.
So then what conditioning does is make it up to you. Okay, so there, first of all, it sets it all up, does it to you, right? Takes over and does it to you until you're in a state and you're behaving in ways you don't want to behave, or you're sitting and you're not having the experience in sitting that you should be having. So it does what it does to put a person in a particular situation in which they are not meeting the standards, and then points out that you're not meeting the standards, and then puts you in charge of meeting the standards that ego has you believing that you should be able to meet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, I mean, we can see in this that this whole thing is happening over here on the side. You know what I mean?
Meaning that it's all part of...
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's all part of the same thing. So it gets you to take the first step out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's why Mornings with the Mentor is such a great thing for people to do, that recording and listening class. Which, by the way, mm-hmm. this is an aside, but for people who want to get more steeped in this practice and they're not really ready to take coaching yet, mm-hmm. recording and listening training classes are available. It's a great way to get more steeped in the practice. Okay, so anyway, it takes you out there, gets you started in that direction, tells you what the standards are, tells you you're not meeting them, and then puts you in charge of fixing you. And the whole thing is happening outside of what is possible for you to do. And the only thing that is your salvation, and that's to get back to center.
Uh-huh. Yeah, let me see if I understand this. So one thing I'm hearing what you're saying is so it's all happening it's all happening way outside of center, first of all, in unconsciousness. Yeah.
That's right. You've been taken over.
Right.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. part of the same process. So,
yes.
You know, the trying to get out of it is part of that same process.
That's exactly right.
So all the fighting and all the wishing and all the feeling bad and all the self-hate and is just part of all that same process.
Yep. It's fighting your way out of the image that we use of quicksand. Right? And it's getting you to flail around in the quicksand, which is only going to serve to make you go under faster, right? Which is where recording and listening comes in and having that skill developed so that you can turn your attention back to sanity, clarity, and in a conversation with mentoring, you can get back here where you can see that whole process for what it is. Now you're back where you want to be. Now you're in the energy that you want to live in. And you realize that the only disappointment is that you are not able yet to recognize that system for what it is and to make the choice to redirect your attention, pick up that recorder, redirect your attention, and get back here. And that disappointment is what inspires us to up our practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me just see if I've got all this. So going back just a little bit before to what you were saying before, another thing I think I heard in what you were saying before is that when I'm out there in that system and I'm trying to have it not happen, I'm trying to do something that is not possible for me to do. So I'm identified as part of the system, and all I can do is play my role in the system harder and then get shifted to another role in the system and try to play that harder and go to another role in the system and try to play that harder, and it never goes anywhere except more suffering.
Beautifully stated.
Thank you. So... So the only alternative is to step back and, you know, head for a practice tool as soon as possible, like recording and listening, and start to, press play on something I have made already, or start to talk to the person who's getting beaten up in there, about from the mentor. You know, what's really going on here, which is that there's been a takeover. You're not a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's right. Okay. Right. We just need to get back to presence, to center, to unconditional love. And then the other thing that I hear you're saying is as we do that, there's the authentic, you know, maybe we could say disappointment, not self-hate, but disappointment that, okay, it can now it can still talk me into going with it, and I don't know how I got there.
That's right.
And so I want to see how I get there. I can't stop going there, but I want to see how it is. I want to track those steps so that eventually,
that's right,
it won't be able to talk me into going there and doing that to this person or the children.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that was the reference that I made to Mornings with the Mentor. You know, this stuff usually starts before a person even opens his or her eyes. And so that is our best way when we tune in first thing in the morning and we develop a practice that has us coming back to clarity and to center first thing, then we really increase our chances of not getting pulled into that during the day.
Wow.
Yeah, you start off where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And then do you recommend, to me, what I think, you know, that's important for me to commit to and that I have committed to and then kind of let it get, you know, so much to do at work I get out of it is, I think it's important for me to have just little check-ins just throughout the day. Because otherwise, okay, great.
Yeah, we'll talk about, Jeff, we'll talk sometimes about there you are at work, and you take just a few minutes to walk outside and look at the sun, look at the sky. Maybe there isn't any sun. Look at the clouds. Look at the rain, whatever it is. But get attention out of where its conditioning has it and get you into a larger perspective. And there's nothing like looking up at the sky to give us a larger perspective. Then you just come back to, I love you, and then go back in.
Yeah, that is so great. Thank you so much, Sherry.
You are so welcome. Let us know, huh?
Okay, will do. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Sherry, that was a great conversation. I really appreciate the level of detail, the looking, the seeing, the willingness. It's inspiring.
And the thing that I like about it, Michael, is every time we have one of these conversations, we realize that we're all doing exactly the same process. You know, and that's why we're all doing the same practice. There's nothing personal about it. We're all up against the same thing. We can chart it just like diagramming a sentence, and we can find where we are in it, and we can find the way out. And so it's just, it's as with Jenny in the meditation, you know, all we need to do is keep showing up. if we realize that standards are silly, because standards are only going to be set by ego to mess us up, then, we just keep showing up. We just keep practicing.
Yes, and because it's so universal, like you said, you know, I can relate to every call, every conversation.
Yes. We had a thing on Project Joy about that recently, you know, that wherever anybody is in practice, wherever anybody is in their life, we've been there and we know it.
Yes.
Or
yes.
We've been there and we don't know it. We're going to be there and we'll know it. Or we're going to be there and we won't know it. But there's nothing that's happening to anybody that isn't part of our experience.
Yes.
To make us feel very close to one another, if ego doesn't get a hold of it, and make it feel separate as a result of it.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful. And it's now 6:00, Sherry.
Well, son of a gun. All right. Let's do this next week, shall we? if everything goes the way we hope it'll go, we'll meet up right back here. All right.
Thank you, Michael.
All right.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.